technical assistance or advice. Any technical assistance or advice provided is free of charge or as agreed. The seller and buyer are not liable for non-performance of the technical assistance. Let's understand this. Technical assistance or advice. Any technical assistance or advice provided is free of charge or as agreed. The seller and buyer are not liable for non-performance of the technical assistance. Technical assistance, or what this means is that whatever technical assistance or advice is provided by the seller to the buyer is free of charge or as agreed if there is a change exchange of any monetary benefits. The seller and buyer both are not liable for non-performance of this technical assistance. The reason that this condition is put here is because the seller may not be the manufacturer and the buyer is only buying the goods from a seller who may not be a technical person with respect to the assistance that is being provided. So what it finally means is that these two people are not the competent authority for the technical assistance that is being provided or that is being offered. Intellectual property, design and intellectual property rights remain the sole property of the owner. No party may use the other's intellectual property. Sale of goods does not grant any intellectual property licenses and the buyer-seller assumes all infringement risks. Intellectual property, let's understand what is intellectual property. We all know intellectual property is patent, copyrights, etc. Where the design of the product which is patented is protected under the patent law and the other rules and regulations applicable. In this case, designs and intellectual property rights remain the sole property of the owner because there is something called licensing that is permitted by the owner of the sole property right to the manufacturer. No party may use the other's intellectual property, which means that other than the manufacturer who has been authorized by the owner to use the property right, to use the intellectual property, nobody else can use the owner's intellectual property. The sale of goods does not grant any intellectual property license. The sale of goods from the manufacturer to the seller and the seller to the buyer does not transfer or does not grant any intellectual property. And the buyer and seller assume all infringement risks if there are any. Governing law and jurisdiction. Agreement of sale of goods, products shall be governed by and interpreted in accordance with the laws of India. Courts of local jurisdiction or one agreed by both parties shall have exclusive jurisdiction on all the matters. Governing law and jurisdiction. Agreement of sale of goods, products shall be governed by the law interpreted in accordance with the laws of India. Court of local jurisdiction or one agreed by both parties shall have exclusive jurisdiction on all the matters. What this means is that while the agreement is governed by the Sale of Goods Act and products shall be governed by and interpreted according to the law of India. For any disputes or any legal issues, the court will be the area court or the region of the court will be decided mutually and agreed upon by both the parties. Now, this could be in the state of the seller or it could be in the state of the buyer. This would be agreed to by both mutually. Arbitration. Disputes will be resolved amicably within so many dash days. If unresolved, arbitration will be by three arbitrators in dash India, that is the state, under Indian Arbitration Act of 1996 or the ICC rules. Costs will be shared. Now, this is a requirement as per the Arbitration Act and the Arbitration Act of 1996 that there has to be a clause of arbitration in every agreement or contract. For it to be referred to, for any disputes to be referred under that contract through the arbitration process. Now, what we are saying here is that under this clause of under arbitration clause 14, disputes will be resolved amicably within dash number of days, which means that there is a dispute that comes up, both the parties involved, the actual people involved in the dispute, sit together and resolve it amicably within a given number of days. This is again mutually agreed between the buyer and the seller. Let's say, for example, that is a 30-day period. If the dispute is unresolved, arbitration will be with the help of three arbitrators. There is a condition there in the under the Arbitration Act that there could be a single arbitrator or there could be three arbitrators. Now, the clause says that if unresolved, arbitration will be by three arbitrators in the state of XYZ, India, under the Arbitration Act of 1996. That means all the rules, regulations set forth by the Indian Arbitration Act will be followed. Costs will be shared. This is very important because the arbitration is an out-of-court settlement sort of, which is but governed by the rules of the court and is a very straightforward and simple method which is quickly resolve disputes between two parties who have signed a contract. Non-assignment. Buyer and seller will specify assignments for business growth based on product type, regions, and end users. Compliance with laws and standards. Compliance with laws. Both parties must comply with local, regional, national, and international laws and standards to ensure mutual business growth. Non-assignment. Buyer and seller will specify assignments for business growth based on product type, regions, and end users. So what we are saying here is that the buyer and seller will specify which areas that each of them are assigned or whatever are the assignments in particular regions for the purpose of business growth. Based on what? Based on the product type, the regions, and the end users. Because many a times the buyer is well aware of what he is going to do further with his product and aware of how his business can grow in which region because of which product type and because of the users. Compliance with laws and standards. Compliance with laws. Both parties must comply with all laws, local, regional, national, and international laws to ensure that there is mutual business growth. Survival of rights. Rights and obligations bind directors, officers, employees, successors, assigns, and agents of both parties. Suspension and termination. Financial issues. If either party faces payment or financial issues, both must discuss and find a solution. Collaboration. Both parties should work together to resolve the issue and prevent reoccurrence. Let's understand this. Survival of rights. Rights and obligations bind directors, officers, employees, successors, assigns, and agents of both parties. It simply means leaving aside only the workmen who are on the shop floor, who are not the decision makers. Everybody else has certain rights and obligations which they are bound to follow. Suspension and termination. Financial issues. If either party faces payment or financial issues, both parties must discuss and find a solution. Collaboration. Both parties should work together to resolve the issue and prevent recurrence. This is the best way to resolve the issue between the two parties because it is easier to sit across a table, be transparent, and really look for a partnership sort of growth in business. Miscellaneous items. Miscellaneous. Both parties must treat the agreement and related information as confidential and may not use each other's trademarks or designs without prior written consent. This is under the miscellaneous clause. Both parties must treat the agreement and related information as confidential and may not use each other's trademarks or designs without any prior written consent. Performance of the contract. Seller. Rights of the seller under the Sale of Goods Act of 1930. Section 21-25 says, seller reserves the right to retain ownership of goods until conditions are met. Section 24. Sale is complete when buyer accepts, performs an act adopting the sale or retains goods without rejection after a reasonable time. Let's realize this. What are the rights of the seller under the Sale of Goods Act of 1930? Section 25 says, seller reserves the right to retain ownership of goods until the conditions as per the contract are completed or met. Section 24, sale is complete when buyer accepts, performs an act adopting the sale, or retains goods without rejection after a reasonable time. What could this imply? This could imply that sale is complete when a buyer accepts or performs an act adopting the sale. That means he gives you an acknowledgement, he gives the seller an acknowledgement that he has received the goods in good condition without rejection, which means that he has accepted that the sale can be considered as complete as per Section 24 of the Sale of Goods Act of 1930. Section 35 says goods will be delivered only upon buyer's request. Section 39, goods will be supplied in installments if agreed. Section 47, seller can assert a lien and maintain ownership until full payment is received. Section 49 and Section 50, seller can stop goods in transit and reclaim them until payment is made. All these conditions or all these sections are in favor of the seller, more or less. Let's look at them once again. Section 35, goods will be delivered only upon buyer's request. So the seller will initiate any action for delivery only after he has received a request from the buyer. Section 39 says goods will be supplied in installments if agreed by both parties. That means that the order quantity may be 1,000, but if lots of 200 are required and agreed by both, then lots of 200 would be supplied. Section 47, seller can assert a lien and maintain ownership until full payment is received, which means that the seller can hold on to the ownership of the goods until the full payment is received by him. Section 49 and Section 50 says, seller can even stop goods in transit and reclaim them until payment is made. Let's take a condition where the agreed term is that the buyer pays the seller before the goods are to be dispatched. That means prior to the goods being dispatched or leaving the seller's premises. However, on an assurance from the buyer, the goods are released from the seller's premises, and over a period of time, when it takes a certain amount of time for the transportation to reach the buyer refuses to make the payment. Now, in this case, the seller has the right under Section 49 and Section 52 to call back the goods and reclaim them until payment is made. Seller rights again continued. Section 54. Seller may resell goods under certain conditions. Section 46, seller may retain goods until buyer acquires ownership. And Section 55, seller can claim payment from the buyer if payment is due after ownership transfer or on a specific date. What does Section 54 tell us? Section 54 tells us that seller may resell goods under certain conditions, which means that he may have sold them to somebody, to the buyer first, but there are certain conditions that are not being met by the buyer, and there is a need for the goods to be sold because of either they are of perishable nature, then the seller has the right to sell those goods, resell those goods under certain conditions. Section 46, seller may retain goods until buyer acquires ownership. Now we know that the goods are, the ownership is transferred to the buyer only after he has completed certain conditions and made the payment in full. In such a situation, the seller retains the goods, that means retains ownership of the goods unless and until the payment is received and he officially transfers the ownership to the buyer. Section 55, seller can claim payment from the buyer if payment is due after ownership transfer on a specific date. This means that if there is a credit period involved offered by the seller to the buyer, then the buyer can initiate action or initiate the process to receive payment after the ownership transfer on a specific date, which means that if the credit period is for 30 days, he can start the action or can claim payment from the 31st day onwards. We looked at certain rights of the seller under the Performance of the Contract Act, which is governed by the Sale of Goods Act of 1930. Let's look at the duties of the seller. Arrange for buyer's ownership, transfer of goods. Ensure goods align with the contract terms. Transfer buyer's legal status and complete ownership. Fulfill delivery obligations as per Section 31. Guarantee goods meet conditions or warranties. Under Section 35, prepare and deliver goods as requested. As we have just seen that there are certain rights of the seller, there are also certain duties that he needs to comply with. First, arrange for buyer's ownership and transfer of goods. That means the transfer of ownership needs to go from the seller to the buyer. Ensure that the goods align with the contract terms. That means the goods meet the packing conditions, the quality conditions, and the specifications as per the contract and agreed terms. Transfer buyer's legal status and complete the ownership. That means that the ownership of the goods have to be transferred from the seller to the buyer on the basis of completing all the other formalities. Fulfill delivery obligations as per Section 31. The seller must comply to all the delivery obligations that he has agreed to on the contract as required under Section 31 of the contract of the Sale of Goods Act. Guarantee goods must meet conditions or warranties. So now there are conditions or warranties which have been agreed by between the seller and the buyer, and the seller needs to confirm that the goods meet those conditions or warranties. Under Section 35, prepare and deliver goods as requested, which means that if the goods have to be packed in a certain way or in a certain material, then that has to be agreed to if he has to be adhered to if it has been agreed or as required under Section 35. Section 36 says, deliver items on time or within a reasonable time frame. Section 36 again says, cover delivery costs until goods are in a deliverable state. Section 37, supply goods in the agreed quantity. Section 38, deliver goods in phases only upon buyer's request. Section 39, arrange insurance for goods during transit. Section 39, notify the buyer of sea shipments to arrange insurance. So we continue. What happens under Section 36? Deliver items on time or within a reasonable time frame. So what has been agreed? If it is agreed, let's say just for example, that the delivery will happen on every Saturday, then you need to deliver on every Saturday, which is the time agreed upon, or a reasonable time would be an accepted time period of plus minus 2 days. Cover delivery costs until goods are in a deliverable state. In case if the goods during transit need to be covered, need to be transported by a covered vehicle, then the seller will need to ensure that the vehicle that the goods are transferred is a covered vehicle. Supply goods in the agreed quantity. Whatever has been the agreed quantity, the scheduled quantity, that has to be the quantity that the goods are supplied in. Deliver goods in phases only upon buyer's request. If the buyer requests that they do not want the full batch to be delivered together and they want it in phases, then if it is agreed with the buyer, then the delivery will have to be in phases only. Arrange insurance for goods during transit. Decide with the buyer if he is going to arrange for insurance or if you are required as a seller required to arrange for the insurance for the goods during transit. Especially in case of sea shipments for overseas supplies, inform the buyer of the sea shipment so that insurance can be covered by him. In sea shipments, normally the insurance is covered by the buyer for the simple reason that if there are any claims, it is the buyer who has to put them up, and it is easier for him to deal with the insurance company which exists in his country. Rights of the buyer under the Sale of Goods Act of 1930. Section 31 and Section 32 accept goods as per the contract terms. Section 37 reject goods not matching the contract's description, quality or quantity. Section 38 terminate the contract if installments are delivered without a written agreement. Section 39 receive notification of C shipments to arrange insurance. Section 41 inspect goods to ensure compliance with the contract. Let's look at now the buyer's rights under the Sale of Goods Act of 1930. What does Section 31 and 32 tell us? It tells the buyer that he can accept goods as per the contract terms. So if the contract terms are violated, he may not accept the goods. Section 37, reject the goods not matching the contract's description, quality or quantity, which means that the goods are rejected by the buyer if they do not comply or do not fit the specifications that have been specified as per the contract. Section 38, terminate the contract if installments are delivered without a written agreement. Now, as we saw, that it is the duty of the seller to supply only in installments only if it has been agreed by the buyer or requested by the buyer. Then we are saying in this case here that the buyer has the right to terminate the contract if the installments are delivered without a written agreement, which means that the onus here for installment deliveries is on both the seller as well as the buyer. Receive notification of C shipments to arrange insurance, which is a requirement under Section 39. Section 41, inspect goods to ensure compliance with the contract. So once the goods are received, inspect the goods again as per the same specifications that were laid down in the contract. File a lawsuit against the seller for non-delivery to recover money. Section 57, sue the seller for damages if they wrongfully fail or refuse to deliver goods. Raise a specific performance claim for enforcement of the contract. Section 59, claim damages for breach of warranty or implied warranty. Section 60, sue for damages due to contract violation. Section 61, claim interest charges and refunds when the seller breaches the contract. File a lawsuit against the seller for non-delivery to recover money. This is only possible in the case where the seller is being paid in advance before the goods are delivered to him, to the buyer. In this case, only a lawsuit will come up. However, if there is a credit period, then this clause or this requirement cannot be met, because the payment will happen only after the delivery is received and found to be in compliance with the requirements. Sue the seller for damages if they wrongfully fail or refuse to deliver goods, which means that if the seller does not adhere to the schedule that has been given to him and agreed by him, then the seller can be sued for damages. Raise a specific performance claim for enforcement of the contract. If the contract is being violated in too many ways, then it would be better to raise a specific performance claim for enforcement of the contract, which means that you are claiming certain damages from the seller for him not performing as per the said contract or not meeting the conditions of the contract. Claim damages for breach of warranty or implied warranty. If there are any breaches of warranty or any conditions, then the implied warranty or breach of warranty clause comes into picture, that is Section 59, and damages can be claimed by the buyer on the seller. Section 60, sue for damages due to contract violation. If the contract has certain specifications in terms of quantity, quality or description or supply as per sample, but they are not being met by the seller, then the buyer can sue the seller under Section 60 for damages to contract violation. Section 61, claim interest charges and refunds when the seller breaches the contract. If in case the payment has been made in advance and there are certain certain conditions where there is a breach of the contract in terms of the quantity or the quality or the specifications, then the buyer can claim interest charges and refund on the amount that has already been paid to the seller. Duties of the buyer under the Sale of Goods Act 1930. Section 43, notify the seller if the buyer rejects the goods. Section 44, accept timely delivery when offered by the seller. Section 55, pay as required when ownership is acquired. Section 56, compensate for losses due to non-acceptance. Let's go through them once again. Notify the seller if the buyer rejects the goods. That means if there is a problem with the quality or the quantity or any other parameter of the goods that have been received, then the seller needs to be informed about the non-compliance. Section 44, accept timely delivery when offered by the seller. So if there has been a schedule that has been given to the seller and the seller meets that schedule requirement, then acceptance must be done at the buyer's end. Section 55, pay as required when ownership is acquired. So the payment should not be unnecessarily held back once the ownership has been acquired. Compensate for losses due to non-acceptance. This means that if there are any losses due to non-acceptance, then those losses have to be compensated for, which means that if the buyer does not accept the goods and there is an inordinate delay for the acceptance, then the seller stands to be compensated.